Welcome to the School of Hollywood. You got Steve Owens, and I'm your host, a 30-year veteran of Hollywood in movies, TV, and film, talent manager, former agent, and have earned 43 platinum gold records. Tamara Aguilar is a Latin television actress and a film star, and she began her career at 12 years of age, and she is now riding high on Netflix. Let's hear about her journey on the School of Hollywood. Hi, this is Steve Owens with Tamara, and you have the number 6 Netflix show in the world. That is incredible. And it's been up there for the last 3 months. You did 50-some episodes. The English title is 100 Days to Fall in Love, and I'm going to let you give us a Spanish one so it's pronounced correctly.
100 Días para Enamorarnos.
Give that to us again. That sounded so sweet.
It's called 100 Días para Enamorarnos.
So tell us about your character on the show.
My character on the show is a paralegal. She is the daughter of the housemaid of the owners of the legal, like the lawyer company that I work in. And I was pretty much raised by my mom and by them. So they're my family. They're the leading actors. So they started having problems, and they decided to just sign a contract that says that they could do whatever they want for 100 days, be with whoever they want to be without, you know, putting their kids in the middle. And they decide just to get separated, but they still work on the same building. And my character is pretty much in the middle of all of it. And she's living their separation as if it was their own parents. And literally, they don't talk to each other. So she's the one that she goes and talks to the leading lady, and she tells me stuff about, you know, her husband. And then I go to her husband, and she tells me stuff about his wife. So she is in a really rough situation. It's a comedy, so you guys are in for a couple of laughs.
Well, obviously, it's got to be funny because it's the number 6 show on Netflix worldwide in like 172 countries, something like that?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's still number 1 in Mexico, and it's still number 1 in Europe. And it's the number, like you said, the number 6 worldwide. And everybody loved it. I mean, we knew it was going to be, you know, good and people were going to see it, but we never expected the I don't know how to say it, like how big it was going to get and that everybody was going to watch it. I went to Mexico 2 weeks ago and a month and a half ago. And I stayed there for a month. And that's when I realized how big it was.
What, people, you know, were coming up to you or on the streets or?
Yes. And I mean, we have the masks, you know, like it's so complicated for people to know who you are.
True.
So they would recognize us and they would stop us and everybody would talk about it. And I was like, oh, okay, so this is something. And then people from Spain, because I have a lot of friends in Spain, people from Spain would text me and my boyfriend, because he works a lot in Spain. And they would be like, oh my God, like this show is a hit. Everybody's watching it. Everybody loves it. So yeah. We're very happy about the outcome.
And we got to give your boyfriend a plug here. He also works with Sony Latin Music and produces records.
Yes.
You know, give him the credit. Give him some credit. Well, what if he were to say, we're going to do the 100 days contract here? How would you react?
Oh, yes. I mean, that would be, I'm not into that kind of stuff. I think that's dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
While you're doing the series, you also did another show at the same time. You were busy. What was the name of that show?
It was called Mariposa de Barrio. I mean, we filmed it a couple of years back, but they went on air at the same time, you know, in different parts of Latin America. It's called Mariposa de Barrio, and it's the life of the famous Mexican singer Jenny Rivera. She used to sing narcocorridos, and she was killed by, well, there are like a lot of things that people are saying, but I'm pretty certain that she was killed by the cartel. You know, her plane exploded and her life was really, really something, you know, like she lived a very, a very hard life. So it talks about her life from when she was born until she died and how she became Jenny Rivera, you know, not wanting to sing and not wanting to be part of the music business. And in the end, she was. And she was a huge hit. Everybody loved her.
And what kind of character did you play in that project?
I play her sister-in-law. She is a woman that got married when she was very young with one of her brothers. And in the end, she, like, her husband becomes a pastor.
Oh, wow.
A church pastor. So, like, after being, you know, dealing with drugs and alcohol and all that, and a lot of women, he decides to become a pastor. So she becomes a pastor. And they're the ones who are trying to deal with all the craziness that's going on in the family.
So any other projects you would want to tell us about that you're really proud of?
Yes, actually, this one was filmed a long time ago. But I think this specific project is one that scarred me the most because it was based on a true story. It was based on the psychiatrist of Venezuela's former ex-president, Hugo Chavez. There's this lady, Alicia Zelaya, in the TV series called Demente Criminal, Criminal Mastermind. Mm-hmm. It was on Netflix, but I'm not sure if it's still on Netflix or if it has been taken down.
It's actually not available for the United States, outside the United States, because I actually went to look for it today.
Oh, okay, okay. So the thing about this one is that she was doing an internship in RCTV, which is a news channel in Venezuela, and she meets this older guy, like 65 years old, while she was 19, and he was an eminence in what he did. He was a really well-known psychiatrist worldwide, and she falls in love with him. And he takes advantage of her, you know, her innocence, taking the fact that she was a virgin, so it was kind of like an award for him. She rapes him. I mean, he rapes her. He abuses her, and he ends up killing her. Mm. So it was for me to play that role. It was really, really hard. Like they would come days. You know, you're gonna know what I'm talking about here. They would be days when I had this really, really, really hard scenes to film. And I went back home, and I was still kind of like in shock of the scene. You know, because he was just so, so tough, knowing that, yes, I'm doing this, but it's not fiction.
How were you able as a child to let go of it?
It was complicated. Like there were two or three times. Actually, what helped me was that I was the lead, and then the lead man was the one who played the psychiatrist was also my teacher at that time, my acting coach. So I was studying the Meisner method, and I would just call him and I would be like, you know, I can't get out of this emotion. I need help. So we would go over like different exercises for me to be able to let go.
Do you remember any of them?
Now I know how to let go, but back then it was so complicated. Yes, it was kind of like psychology. Like he would ask me to just close my eyes. And he would guide me through different scenarios, you know, like of what went on the scene, and why was it affecting me? What was I feeling? Like where was the feeling coming from? Like if it was, you know, in my stomach, or if it was on my throat. Like where was I feeling it? So he would literally put one finger where that feeling was, and he would tell me to imagine that he was guiding that feeling up to my back. And when it was in my bag, he was going to crush it and he was going to dissolve it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's weird. It's weird when you hear it, but when you see it happening, it's amazing.
Yeah, I actually heard a podcast on something that was kind of interesting that some actors can use too. And that's when the negative thoughts and these kinds of things happen, simply counting backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then think about, oh, I'm going to Disneyland. And what happens is your brain starts to think in a different kind of a way. And that's kind of like what his exercise did with you, which is great.
Yeah, and the thing is that, yeah, I've taken like a lot of, back then I took a lot of acting classes, but nobody taught me how to get out of it, how to just snap out of it. And he was the one who taught me that. His name is Sebastián Ligarde. He's a very well-known actor in Mexico.
That's really great information.
He's the only one in Miami that does the Meisner method, that teaches it. So he helped me so much. And now I know how to get in and out, you know, in 5 seconds, like you say. But before, it was a really tough character to take in without knowing that.
You originally were born in Mexico City. As in your childhood, did you think you were going to grow up and come to Hollywood?
No. I mean, I've always known that I wanted to be an actor. My grandmother was an actor in the golden times of cinema in Mexico. So out of all my cousins, there were only three of us who decided to, you know, be in the entertainment business. I became an actress. Another one of my cousins became a music producer, and the other one became a ballet dancer in the Ballet Conservatory in Mexico. So I've always known that I wanted it, but I never thought that I was going to, you know, just pack everything and move to LA. And so I did, and I'm extremely happy of my choices and what I decided to do, because it's a new beginning.
And how can parents support their child's dreams in movies and TV, do you feel?
I mean, honestly, with me, I had a lot of support with my daughter. I have an 11-year-old. I had a lot of support with my daughter from my parents. You know, they took care of her for me when I had to, you know, go to auditions or go to work. Because there are some times when I was not working where I lived and I had to travel. And I had to be away for like 3-4 months, and they would take care of her so that she wouldn't, you know, stop going to school and all of that. So in that sense, they helped me a lot, but I had to do everything on my own. You know, when I went to my dad and I told him that I wanted to be an actress, he flipped out. He was like, "What? No, what are you going to do? Like the famous, you have to study a real career."
So did you study a real career as well?
No, I studied film. So I had to do everything on my own. And then when my dad actually saw that I was already, you know, being on set and actually earning money out of this, that's when he started helping me out with the contacts he had. But I think that, I mean, I'm a mom. As a mom, you have your chances of doing what you love and making your dreams come true. But once you become a mother, like, your dreams are no longer your dreams. Like, your dreams are passed to your kids. So you have to leave their dreams through you. You know, now that I went through all of this, if my daughter, let's say I wouldn't be living in LA, and my daughter would tell me, you know what, mom, I want to be an actress, I want to be in Disney, I would just pack all my stuff and go to LA and figure it out from there. You know, because I think it's a parent's job to look after their kid's future, I guess.
So how do you prepare for your roles? Any technique tips you want to pass on memorizing lines or how to steal the shot from another actor while you're shooting?
First of all, I always have a coach. Every time I do, like, I'm getting ready for an audition, for example, I have a coach and I work with him before actually going, you know, with the casting directors and audition. And once I have, once I'm actually filming, they have coaches there. They have acting coaches. So I always talk to them and I always go by the hand with them. And they coach me as I go. Yeah. I think that's really, really important, because some people, and trust me, I've had these conversations, like, some actors are like, no, this is just an audition, you know, I can do it on my own, that's what I studied for. Yes, but like, that's what coaches are for, you know. So just practice. You have to research. There are many things that you might think, you know, I'm doing it perfectly, and then you're missing something so small but so important that it would change everything. Every time I have an audition, what I try to do is like to get out of like the normal, I guess. Try to stand out somehow without going overboard. You know, so I go over the lines and I read the character. I break it down. I start to memorize it, because you asked about memorizing. To memorize it, I break it down and I start putting images in my mind. You know, okay, so this character, it says that they're talking, they're drinking a coffee and they're on a coffee shop. So, okay, I'm at a coffee shop. Then they're talking about, I don't know, having a baby. Okay, I'm at a coffee shop, and then they're talking about having a baby. So I break it down like that. I try not to, like, yes, I learn it completely, like, you know, up and down, but I try not to learn it by heart, as if you go to the casting director and they changed a line and then you're done.
Yeah.
That always happens to me. I go into a room with the casting directors, and sometimes they even change the entire scene. And they're like, okay, I like you, but not for this character, for another one. You have 5 minutes to learn it.
How do you overcome overrunning a scene?
I'm so sorry. What do you mean by overrunning?
So in other words, you've auditioned it so many times, and then the original energy is lost in the scene. How do you bring it back?
You have to know that Every time people tell me that, you know, it's not you on the scene. Yes, it's you, but you have to think like that's you in a different circumstance, not the one you lived in. You know, yes, it's me. It's Tamara Aguilar. It's my feelings. But what would have happened to me if I would live the way the character did, or if I would have the parents that the character had? I would be a complete different person. But the root of everything would be me, you know, the little seed would be me. So I try to take that energy from there, you know, just remembering like, okay, this is you, a different name, a different way of living, different experiences, but it's you. So bring out the energy from your stomach. I always do it from my stomach, because I believe that every single feeling comes from your stomach.
Okay, you have a short film, Tito's Peace in Heaven, that you're a co-producer on. When do you plan on shooting it? And is it going to be shot here in Los Angeles or somewhere else?
No, it's going to be shot in Mexico City. And we are still looking for the budget. We are talking to a couple of people that are interested in putting the money. But, I mean, the script is done. Everything is done. You know, we have our team. We have everything. So now we're just missing the most important thing, which is the money.
Exactly.
Hopefully it will be, that's the hardest part, but once that comes, we're going to start filming right away.
Well, being an actress and casting a project, how did you feel about casting the actors in it? Was that tough for you, or was that like, this is easy, it's over and done with?
That's actually not the first time I did it. I did this series for Venevision. It was a small series, a mini series. It was only 13 episodes.
Only.
And the director was actually the director of the Mente Criminal. And he called me and he was like, there's this character that I want you to play, but I cannot give you a contract if you do that character alone. So he offered me to do the character and be behind the scenes as an assistant director. So that was something. That was school right in and there, because he took me to the auditions and I had, you know, to make my notes and see, you know, what I thought, what I saw, who I liked. So I did all the audition process from the other side of the coin. So, and that was amazing, you know, like amazing and scary at the same time, because you actually hear what the casting directors talk about, you know, and you're like, oh my God, they might have been talking about me like that.
Speaking of casting directors talking about you, do you still get nervous in an in-person network audition? And how do you overcome that when you're testing for a TV series?
It's so hard. I get so nervous. But the problem with me is that I get so nervous that I start shaking. And sometimes that's what I cannot let go of, my shaking. So I try not to like grab onto anything or touch anything, because if not, they'll know that I'm shaking. But I use those, when I'm really, really nervous, I use those nerves to create emotions. You know, I start from the nerves and I evolve them into a different feeling.
Fabulous. So let's talk about Instagram.
Whoever's not nervous in an audition is not an actor. Everybody's nervous in auditions.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
So let's get to the what has become the new important part of being an actor in Hollywood, Instagram and Facebook connections with casting directors, producers, and have you gotten any work from social media yet?
No, not yet. I left my social media on a site for a while, and then I realized that I would go to auditions, and a lot of actors that are hearing us, they're gonna feel my pain. I would go to an audition. Like, I've been studying for more than 20 years acting. You know, I have my career, I have my curriculum, I have everything. And then they give the character to an influencer, and I'm like, oh my God. You know, so I decided to start, you know, with my social media, because it's really important. You know, through social media, people now, they know, producers know how many tickets you can sell.
Exactly.
And that's also very important, because I've produced before. So I completely understand that mindset. But as an actor, I understand that mindset also. So we already know how this is. We already know what we're dealing with. We already know what technology does. Might as well just go with the flow and do it yourself too. It's very, very important to take care of your social media.
How many hours a day do you work on it?
On mine, I try to be as constant as I can. You know, I'm getting there. You know, I'm getting there. For me, it's easier to just like work on other social media accounts, because I'm also a social media manager. I have a company that does that. And I decided to open what we were talking about before the interview, my food blog called Hungry Lottie. So I work on that a lot. You know, I love to make my videos and my recipes, and I go to restaurants and I film all the process. So I do that. Even if I'm not uploading content, like, I'm still working on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm working on my SEO, like seeing what I can do, like looking at at other people that do the same thing. See my like where I'm going, like what are the times when I can, you know, all that. The better times to post, and I'm starting to do that on mine too. And on mine, more than anything, I'm trying to post at least 3 pictures a week, which I know it's not that much, but I'm getting there.
and how many stories on top of that?
I'm trying to like put stories as much as I can. I'm not the kind of person that just, you know, goes online and just talk to the camera. I feel like really weird doing that. But I'm starting to have to do that, and people like it because they actually write to you. So I try to do it as often as I can during the day.
Well, that's great. Any final things you would like to, give words of wisdom to people on the way up in the entertainment industry?
Words of wisdom is like I've always said, my grandma said that to me, and that's been stuck with me ever since. People who do not make it, let's say in Hollywood or in the television industry, in the entertainment industry in general, people who do not make it are the ones who give up. So do not give up. Like, you didn't make it not because you were not talented enough, just because you were not patient enough. So in this industry, you need patience. And I think this is an industry where you get like the most no's you're going to get in a lifetime. So a no has to work as fuel for you to be, oh no, okay, I'm going to work for the yes. And I'm going to prove to you that I am actually able to get a yes. Because there are many people that when they hear a no, they just go down and they get so depressed. No, it's a no, but it doesn't mean it's a no just because you're a bad actor. Maybe it's a no because you were not blonde enough, or you were not tall enough, or you were not fat enough, or you were not skinny enough. Not because you were a bad actor. So as long as you know that and you keep working on your craft, you're going to be fine.
That's great. And where can people find you on social media?
It's Instagram is at Samara Aguilar, T-H. It's with T-H, Samara Aguilar. And on Facebook is at Samara Aguilar with two R's, Samara Aguilar R, as Ramirez, which is my last name.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you being on the show today and onward and upward with your career, which I know it's going to happen. And let's go for another Netflix series. How's that sound?
Amen.
Thank you for listening to The School of Hollywood. Please follow us on Instagram at School of Hollywood and subscribe so you can hear our next episode. I'm Steve Owens. Until next time, continue to follow your dreams and look to the stars for your success.